ready? Okay. Okay. Good evening, everybody. This is the Thursday, January 21st, 2010, Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting at 6:30 p.m. And Mr. Benedix, if you could call the roll for us.
Yes. Mr. Ehring?
Here.
Mr. Myers?
Here.
Mr. Costello? Absent. Mr. Gehring?
Here.
Mr. Wallace?
Here.
Mr. Runnels is absent. And I understand Mary Lucy is here as the new designate from the Oceano Community Services District. I do not have a authorization from the board yet as her replacement for Ms. Dean, who is in the audience. But with four members, not including Ms. Lucy, we do have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And this is the public comment period. It's time for anyone who has anything to say to the committee may do so. If it's something that's on the agenda, that would be fine, but we won't be able to comment if it's not on the agenda. So if you have something to say, please step forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you have on mind.
There we go. We have a candidate. No? No candidate. All right.
Okay. Seeing none, we'll close that public comment period. Did everybody get a chance to take a look at the minutes?
Yes.
I did.
Comments? I want to ask Committee Member Myers. Is that right for your first name, Mr. Myers?
It's Robert, but Robert is the full name. So.
Okay, we can change this from Rob to Robert Myers. Anything else on that?
I saw that too.
Yeah, well, just call me for dinner. I'm okay.
No, but I would just comment that the minutes seem to be very complete.
I agree with you. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. The summary of you was Sparrows was very good. It was very complete. So.
All right. Other comments? Motion?
I'd make a motion that we approve the minutes as corrected.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Any further comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Looks like unanimous. Okay, operations report, Mr. Benedix.
Yes, in your packet under attachment 2, there's several pages that show the monthly operations report with respect to delivered water for the Lopez plant and state water. I'll give you a brief update regarding the current operation, the specifics of the Lopez system. The lake elevation today is at 490.82. That's 25,443 acre feet at 52% capacity. We've gone up about 3 or 4% of capacity since this storm has started. Rainfall as of this morning was just a little over 14 inches total for the season. Starting July 1st. The plant production is 3.5 million gallons per day. State water process through the distribution pipeline, in addition to the 3.5 million gallons, plant production is 1.1 million gallons per day. The filtered turbidity range is 0.012 to 0.016. The terminal visibility is 11 feet. That's at the terminal reservoir. And the downstream releases are currently 2.6 million gallons per day. We have, no, I'm sorry, they're not. They're 2.4 million gallons per day. We have reduced the releases twice this week from 3 million gallons per day. And I've directed my staff tomorrow to release it down to 2.1 million gallons per day. And that is consistent with our interim downstream release schedule. At that point, we need to observe it when we're about 2 million gallons per day and make sure we got stable water flow in the creek, that we don't see any major impact. This week, just as conjunctive information, The flood control district is monitoring their Grande Creek at the levee in the Oceano area for potential flooding or potential overtopping due to the limited capacity of the Rio Grande Creek down in the levee flood control channel area. So we've been watching that probably dozens of times a day this entire week in case that we had a rainstorm that pushed that water level up and we had a potential for a levee failure and potentially an evacuation for a portion of Oceano. So in conjunction with that, obviously, I'm aware of what levels of water the creek is flowing. And so these releases, we've been making a reduction so we could store more water because the half a cubic feet per second, which is about 3 1/3 million gallons per day, or about 0.3 million gallons per day, has really virtually no impact on that water that's coming down the creek based on the rainfall. So we're going to continue to reduce that and observe that and see what happens, particularly when the water, the rainfall stops potentially next week. We'll make some adjustments to that. And that's the end of my report, Mr. Gehring.
Okay, thank you for that. And questions for Mr. Benedict. We'll start with Mr. Walz.
Dean, on the release down to 2.1, that's you say that's consistent with the interim release program?
That's correct. Yes.
When would what's the criteria for going to the next step, and what is the next step?
The criteria is when we reach 2 million gallons per day, we're supposed to observe the flow in the creek for around 5 days. Observe it and make sure we have no impacts with reduced levels of water in the creek right now, and going, you know, my obvious thought is, what can we go down to zero releases? That's not provided for in the IDRIS plan. We're supposed to make some observations, and it really at this point, I think this is the third year that the IDRIS plan has been in effect after being approved by the County Board of Supervisors, and what we are potentially doing is making observations and recording data so for the following years. We can use that data to determine could we go down to zero or should we not go down to zero. We pretty much have a baseline of water flow that we see during the summer, which is the driest time, and we need to maintain that. So if we see that dropping significantly, we probably shouldn't make any more reductions in the releases. So we're kind of in a monitoring research gathering mode here right now. And there's really no provisions to go down to zero based on the limited information we have right now.
My only concern would be if we're getting more intense cells moving through, kicking up the level of the creek, and we're getting high on the levees, that we would want to perhaps go into an emergency mode that maybe is not contained in the interim release plan.
That's correct.
And stop all releases for yes. liability mm-hmm. issues.
Yes, if mm-hmm. we... Not to go too far into depth in this, but we have an emergency response plan, emergency levee plan, emergency evacuation plan for the Oceano area along Highway 1. Excuse me. And that plan has several levels or stages, if you will. Right now we are about 2.5. We've been about 2 feet to a point where we start having patrols that go out and actually monitor the levee. They're out in the field reporting into us. We've advised emergency services, the sheriff, et cetera. And that level is 4 feet below where the levee would overtop. So if we get to the point of above, we get to the point probably, I would say, 2 to 3 feet below where the levee would actually overtop, we'd be closing that because there obviously there's no sense in letting any more water in to potentially add to a potential levee failure.
Do you know, this is a little side from the point, do you know if the sanitation district is on your call list from your emergency response plan?
If they're not, they're on my list to call, yes.
Okay.
And I'm the one that's responsible for monitoring that. Yeah. So whether it's on the actual printed list, there's a number of other people besides the printed list, besides we would call the sanitation district.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Hearing, anything?
No, I haven't. I have nothing. I would like to ask a question, John. I'm not familiar or have I seen this levee that you're talking about. Could you explain where it is to me?
The levee, the problematic portion of the levee runs parallel to Highway 1, if you know where the melodrama is.
Yes.
And maybe Mary would explain it better than I would, but basically from probably where the flooding problem is at 13th Street and Highway 1, if you go south probably half a mile, that's where the levee crosses Highway 1, I believe. And then the levee continues, if you go toward the ocean, I guess they would say that was west. It goes to the south side of the airport, the county airport, south of the sanitation district plant, and empties into the ocean at that point into the lagoon. And that is the critical reach that has reduced capacity because of siltation or lack of ability to get permits because there's endangered species and the continued growth and vegetation that basically blocks the capacity of the levee. So that is the problem area that we are looking at. And actually, we have installed some plastic visqueen and some anchor sandbags in three locations along that sort of section of the levee in three isolated locations, amounting to probably about 1,500 or 2,000 feet length, because we've calculated that those three locations are the first likely to overtop. So what we're trying to do is, if we get water in that channel that comes down, and it's not a tremendous amount of water that would just, you know, blow over the top. If it's just a little bit, we're trying to keep that water on top of the levee and not have it dig a hole in it, because once obviously you get a hole in it, then everything's going to come and flood the farmland like it did in 2001, I believe it was.
Thank you.
Mr. Myers.
I think all my questions have been asked.
Mrs. Lucy.
Let me ask you, as you go south on Highway 1, on 22nd, where you were speaking, we call it the 22nd Bridge right there, and the first set of mobile home parks, there is a lot of flooding that happens there, and the sub pumps do come out, and the pumping does occur. Did you include that area right behind the first park?
That is probably our major concern, because if the levee broke right there, well, two places, there and at the wastewater treatment plant. We didn't put any levee protection on the north side of the levee, which would be right adjacent to the mobile home park there. We put it on the opposite side because the south side is lower than the north side, intentionally by about a foot. So we have attempted to protect the north side, which protects the residences by having the levee higher on that side than on the south side.
And you said they check those several times a day, correct? Because that one does fill up very quickly.
Yes, we have online monitoring of that we can see every time we get a new blip from our gauges at 22nd Street, at Valley Road, down at Lagoon. Those are the three locations we can electronically monitor.
Thank you.
You know, Mr. Benedict, it does look to me like this is the first opportunity since we've had the Idris in effect that we really could save some significant water. Is there any estimate as to how much water we're saving at present in terms of acre feet per day?
I have not calculated that, Mr. Gehring.
Perhaps at our March meeting.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments from the committee members? Anyone in the audience have any questions or would like to ask Mr. Benedict anything on this subject? All right. Seeing none, to old business, and it looks like we're up to the second quarter budget status report from Mrs. Brunick.
So I'll start with the second quarter budget status for flood control zone 3. Overall expenditures are under budget by $1.1 million, or roughly 40% of the total budget. And they relate to capital outlay projects, non-routine, and O&M being down. Actually, O&M is down by 16%, which is good. And non-routine is under by 65%. So overall, we had a 40% savings. Then the, let's see. Sorry, I'm a little unprepared here. I didn't expect it to go this fast. So I've handed out the budget books for you to review at a later point in time. And I'll also be mailing them out tomorrow to your finance directors and TAC members, and hopefully looking to set a couple of meetings up in February with the TAC and then one with finance. Still waiting to hear back for room availability on that, so I don't have a date yet for the finance. Just a few things. Hopefully when we meet again on the 18th, you will endorse the budget. I know last year was my first year, and wasn't endorsed. Hopefully this year it will. So once it's endorsed by the advisory committee, it goes to the Board of Supervisors in mid-June for approval. So just a brief summary over the budget for 10-11. O&M increased by 9.39%. Total O&M decreased by less than 1%, and the total billings have increased by 9.39%. One of the main reasons that the billings went up was because this year we'll begin to pay principal on the water treatment loan. I did a comparison to see where we were at with the five-year billing estimates that were given to the committee in April of 2008, just to see where if it was higher or lower, and it was under by $250,000. And the last item I have is a credit of $180,000 was issued in December for the 08-09 billings to the agencies. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to email me questions during this whole process, please feel free to.
Okay. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And questions?
I just wanted to reiterate, are you going to get these out?
I'm going to mail them out tomorrow.
Week? Oh, mail
them. I'm mailing them out tomorrow. I wanted to give them to you first before I actually mail them out. Okay. So they'll go out tomorrow.
Mr. Wallace.
Jenny, just can you direct us to the cost per acre foot schedule that we were, I believe, getting last year, or was requesting last year? And it would sure be helpful to have in this year's budget package as well.
You know what? That was an oversight on my part. This was my first budget, and I didn't
include
that in there.
Looks like page 14.
So I...
Okay. Yeah, so true.
Oh, okay, good. There was another loose leaf one I seen last year, and that was the same one. So,
just looking at it briefly, the CSA 12 would also include Avalos billing on a cost per acre foot basis. In other words, Avalos would be within CSA 12's cost here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So procedurally, though, we'll review it in some detail on the March 18th meeting. And before that, the finance directors will have this document and go over it amongst themselves. And it goes to the board for the June board meeting if presumably we endorse it.
Yes, with all our other budgets in June.
Okay. Anybody else with questions for Ms. Brunick? So keep your books. We're going to go through them in some detail next meeting.
All right, good.
All right. Anything else?
she's asking for my phone number, 781-5278.
And Ms. Brunick, you mentioned you could be emailed. Your email address is?
It's jbrunick@co.slo.ca.us.
If, you know, since we have a new committee member, we might want to make sure we get Ms. Lucy the committee contact list.
Yes, I'll do that.
And Ms. Brunick's and everyone else's email address is on that list.
One final question on the quarterly reports. I was remembering, but maybe not accurately, that we were going to put data points on here so we could actually see the amounts of the expenditures so that we could look quickly at it and see the actual data point here.
Okay.
Rather than just kind of estimating maybe, you know, 0.2 of a way up from zero to 500,000.
Sure, I can do that. I'd be happy to do a draft and send it to you and see if it's something that you're okay with rather than bring something back and then you go,
No, I think that's fine.
Okay.
We can just put the data points on there. It'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can do that.
Mr. Gehring?
Yes, sir.
I'd also like to add that when we prepared the revision of the capital improvement program, which we project basically at this point for we're projecting an 8-year capital improvement program so that we can distribute costs for necessary Lopez water treatment plant projects. We have for the next 2 or 3 years adjusted those based on priority to stay within that, I think was about a $550,000 cap that we've been requested by several of the agencies. So we were able to do that. I say it's an 8-year program because we have some very expensive projects that we are looking at and considering, such as acquiring the property next door for security purposes and some significant fencing we want to do for security. But I've moved those out way out toward the outside so we could show them on a needs list but not impact the current or the anticipated future short-term budgets with that. So we've been able to do that.
Okay, thank you for that. And for reference purposes, which page is that capital improvement plan on?
The entire 8-year plan, Jenny, is not in this, is it? It's not in this document?
No.
You will see at the bottom the capital outlay reserves on page, is that page 5? Yeah, 5, 6, and 7. Page 5, it totals $475,000 for the three projects that we're requesting funding for. And then the other pages that Jenny has prepared, and I can never understand these because I'm not an accountant, but the numbers are different, but the projects are the same. So I guess suffice it to say, I think on page 7.
Is the difference. Page 5 is proposed 10-11. Page 6 is 9-10. And then page 7
is 9-10.
Does the difference between 9-10 versus
comparative
10-11.
Billings.
Comparative,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you'll see the ones that they're proposing, the capital projects on page 5.
Okay.
At the bottom.
All right. Thank you for that.
You have to guess. This is page 4.
Yeah. Okay. So there's no page number.
There is. They're kind of hidden.
Well,
they're at the left. There's a little 5 at the bottom underneath the green bar of flood 10-11.
Oh, okay.
We have the, what would be the footnote section?
Thank you.
Okay, so does that dissertation raise any other questions on the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Brunick. And does anybody in the audience have any questions that might be answered on this subject before we leave it? It looks like everybody's happy.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Benedict, looks like you're going to talk to us about quagga mussels and how we're doing on that.
Yes, in your staff report, you will see several documents under attachment 4 regarding quagga mussels. The short story is that we're glad to report that we have not had any indications of quagga mussels at Lopez or at Santa Margarita Lake, either lake. We continue to monitor those with numerous locations, as you see on item 4-1, excuse me, 4-2 and 4-3 in your agenda packet. I've also included a short summary as attachment 4-1 regarding the status of quagga mussels and the prevention in Lake Nacimiento and Lake San Antonio. And, of course, those are of concern to us because boaters in the community go back and forth from lake to lake, and we don't want the Nacimiento being infected and coming into Lopez before we can figure it out. So this is currently a status of four approaches that the working group, which is composed of San Luis County and Monterey County Recreation Parks and Flood Control District staff, are working on. There is a meeting tomorrow that's being held with Supervisor Meacham and Mayor Dave Romero as two elected officials who are trying to work out an agreeable situation with Monterey County Water Resources Agency members also. And these basically go from the minimal effort, which is education only, estimated to cost about $150,000, to a most expensive or most thorough comprehensive inspection and decontamination of every boat that goes in there. And there's no cost, you might note, is associated with item 4 on there. They have two other ones, and again, they're trying to work out. The biggest issue is that if we do a decontamination inspection at the main ramp, we have a number of other access points from private property into the lake, and how do we monitor and control those? There's lots of schools of thought. I don't know what percentage of boats launch into the main ramp, if it's 90% or 70%, but Monterey County is very concerned that we, San Luis County, monitor the private launches, and they seem to be kind of holding back doing anything active on the main launch ramp until we've come up to some agreement on the private ramps. These numbers are really, really high. I don't know why they're so high, but this is what was presented by the group as they've been coming together. I think these are Monterey County numbers, but suffice it to say that they are working toward it. There seems to be some agreement that something needs to happen. The last report that I saw, which was in November, said that Monterey County was going to have an inspection program of some sort in place by the end of March. I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not now. I believe everybody's basically shooting for trying to have something in place before the Labor Day weekend. It looks like we're going to get a little bit more rain, and if we get a lot of rain, there will be a lot more interest and a lot more boats on that lake over the Labor Day weekend, and we get significant traffic in there. So I think that's the goal at this point, but I can't give you anything more positive other than there's a good dialogue going on, and it appears that something is in the works. How quickly it happened, nobody really knows at this point.
Okay, thank you for that. Questions on that subject? Mr. Wallace has got his hand in the air, I think.
No?
Mr. Aaron?
No? Fine. Thank you.
No? Mr. Benedict, as I recall a personal experience going to a private ramp on Nacimiento, I remember driving over miles of back road and some miles of dirt road and finally coming to this ramp on private property. I got no idea how you're going to control those people. Are there thoughts to that? How would you control those private ramps?
Well, we've had indications from many of the boat owners on the lake that they are equally concerned with the lake becoming contaminated. And, you know, I mean, everybody's kind of selfish in that extent, but they don't want their boats being fouled. They understand that if the lake were to get infested, it does change the whole environmental makeup of the lake, because these new mussels eat what the other fish eat, and it changes it, and how much it would change, nobody knows. But they're supportive of doing that. That would probably be a pretty much a self-regulating or self-monitoring type of scenario. If we could get each lake property owner on the lake to, you know, sign some type of agreement and have their boat inspected and tagged and, you know, have them, anybody they allow to come up and use their property to do the same thing, you know, like a rental agreement or, you know, something. There's a mechanism, I think, that could be put in place. I think our concern is that rather than doing nothing on the whole lake, it'd be better to do 80%, you know, is kind of our approach. So I think the county, San Luis County, is certainly willing to try to do our part. We just obviously can't pay $2 million to Monterey County for them to administer the lake, which is the main ramp. So there's some negotiating going on with respect to who does how much of what.
Is the source of funding for any of these items completely up in the air at this point?
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? Anybody from the audience? Mary Lee.
Mary Lee Hyman, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I want to thank you for your continued vigilance on prevention work for this issue and your work with Monterey County. I'm on the web alert for all invasive species updates and articles across the nation. And 2 days ago in Oklahoma, they reported their first infection 27 miles away from the last one on the Canadian River. The identification of source was the ballast discharge, which we all know from history. The place of infection was of concern because it was in drainage. And it showed pictures of the drainage pipes. Now, I never thought of the drainage part of this. I always thought of the intake, the reservoirs, the water, and delivery of potable drinking water. In our study with Mr. Dennis Delside, who's working on that, do you know if in our study and response we're including not just the lakes and reservoir and delivery of water, but also include drainage and all other water-related piping systems? Like stormwater drainage. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a question for Mr. Benedict, as we have not seen that report as yet.
I would like to ask Ms. Hyman if she could clarify what her understanding of drainage is, from what to where, so I can maybe answer that.
I wish I could. I tried to find that information out, but it's so new in a release, and it's from the generalized database nationwide. There are no articles in the papers or anything that's being reported on the web, but I was concerned. But they do show four pictures of the pipes, and they didn't look like water pipes to me. They look like real drainage pipes.
Okay.
But I'm happy to send that, whatever information I find, to you.
Okay. I guess I'd have to kind of take a shot at a couple of scenarios that I would see from that respect. We're not aware of a scenario where a natural drainage would have quagga mussels. I mean, it sounds kind of stupid, but just maybe talking through it, would drain into the lake. I would anticipate it may be something like a private property owner who owns 10 or 20 acres, has somebody come up and, well, I'll just drain my ballast into this creek here because I want to get rid of it and let it dry up, and then have a rainstorm come along, and I think it takes something in the range of 2 to 7 days for the mussels to die. And so if you had a big gully washer that came and washed that into the lake, yes, that could do that. And it could go through culvert pipes or whatever. That would be the only scenario I would imagine, and that's what we're facing at Nacimiento with the private boat owners. The lakes, Santa Margarita Lake and Lopez Lake, the decontamination we do, that water is kept separate and it doesn't go into the lake. So there was no, quote, drainage that I'd be aware of that would have infestation and go into the lake.
All right. Thank you for that. Any other questions on the part of the committee, or any other members of the audience have anything on that issue? Seeing none, we'll move on to HCP processing status, and that's you again, Mr. Benedict.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Gehring. At the last meeting, for those of you who weren't there or aren't aware, we had Mr. Anthony Spina here, and just for the sort of for the record, in the minutes, we did separate Mr. Spina's discussion from the minutes so they could be easily yanked out, provided to other people for information, or retrieved or found or retraced. A couple of things that we, several things, I guess. Initially, one of the requests by the advisory committee was to come up with a schedule of tasks that are remaining to do through the HCP. I took a run at that, drafted that, and brought that to the last TAC meeting earlier this month, in addition to a couple of chronological errors that I made that weren't intentional that kind of messed up the schedule. It did have tasks on it. There's about a dozen tasks that need to be done that take us basically through the agency, resource agency approvals, the environmental review, and the finalization of that document. We are currently and have sent that document to the advisory agencies, to the resource agencies, which includes National Marine Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we're getting their comments back on those tasks, the length of those tasks, the overlap that we could expect, and their comments on what that schedule looks like so we could get some concurrence and maybe some credibility of the viableness of that schedule and those tasks. We don't have that back yet, so I did not bring that to you. And I know when I handed it out, and it was longer than 2 years at the TAC committee, I didn't see any big smiles. So I didn't want to bring it back and hand it to you until I actually had it closer to what I thought was more reasonable. I think it was a lot longer than it needed to be. So I'll be revising that, reviewing that with the TAC at the next two meetings we do have, and hopefully be bringing that to you at your March meeting. I have a question for the advisory committee. At the March meeting, would you like to have Mr. Spina back, or would you rather wait until March, April, May? And maybe before I have your discussion on that or get your recommendation, I will tell you that we are looking at the response from our consultant regarding the pre-dam and post-dam impact of the water flows in the creek, which was a request for information from Anthony Spina. I've been looking at it today. I have a couple of questions about it, a little bit of concern. It's pretty basic. But it actually required us to do a day-by-day analysis and computer-generated data summary of that for the last 45 years so we could make sense out of it. It looks pretty good. I don't think it's going to be a lot more time to do, and hopefully it'll be in a form we can send it in probably next week. So it took us longer than I was happy with for our consultant to get to it and get it done. My staff and the environmental staff have looked at it, and they're pretty comfortable with it. But I had some couple of questions on things before I actually sent it in to Mr. Spina. So that should be in by the end of next week, no later than the end of next week. So based on that information, I guess I'd like to hear when you'd like us to invite Mr. Spina back next.
Well... Let's hear from the committee members first before I get going.
I think, Dean, our premise in discussing scheduling with Mr. Spina was that we would have him back on a quarterly basis. Does the March meeting correspond to that schedule?
Well, quarterly would be pretty much every other meeting.
So that would be March.
That would be March.
I think that from my perspective on it, that given that we have a little bit of momentum going with him with some of the questions that we've asked and his responses and his apparent willingness to be responsive to those questions, and the fact that you'll be providing him with the modeling information that he's requested, that seems to be one of the major hang-ups that he had in his discussions with us, when was it, December? I think it would be good to have him back for an update from his perspective on whether he's satisfied with that modeling information or not. I know he's going to pass it along to you guys, and that you'll pass it along to the TAC earlier in the month. But
right.
I just think it would be nice to keep the momentum going with Mr. Spina on his reaction to our information.
Okay.
Mr. Earing.
Well, I heard that I'm not going to be very happy with the length of time that's forecasted on this timing to do this and actually get it approved and have our ACP. And with the fact that it's taken us 10 years and we're no place, and it's going to take us considerably more time to back up and do this, my feeling is that as John says, we basically have momentum going. We have something going on with where the hang-up was, but we find out that the hang-up needs to be driven by us. And so I'd like to take advantage of his offer to meet with us on a quarterly basis and come and at least stay in contact with him. I further would like to add a little bit. I've never seen this organization put forth a resolution to be approved by the Board of Supervisors involved in this. And I kind of feel like I would like to see this when we get the tasks straightened out, we get the timing straightened out, and whether we like it or not, that we have some kind of a resolution that's approved by the Board of Supervisors, so that we've got something with a timing chart that we can continue to monitor and stay on top of. So I don't know. That's just a suggestion. Since I've been on this in this organization, that's an advisory organization, we basically have not gotten an approved resolution from the Board of Supervisors that this is going to be carried through.
Okay, Mr. Myers.
Yes, I think I have to agree with what both of these gentlemen said in front of me. I heard Mr. Spina say that the kind of the drop-dead factor in this whole factual problem getting the HCP done is that he doesn't have data on the pre-dam and the post-dam flows, and everything he backed up onto that, and he wiggled pretty nicely out of having to do anything until he got that information. So I think we have to go forward with that, and we ought to move it quickly and have him back here is on the schedule we got, whether we have a total package or not, and to see what he says, and hopefully move it forward quicker. He's going to come at his own expense, I guess, so we don't have any real expense getting him here, so we ought to have him here if he'll come.
Thank you. And Ms. Lucy?
Well, I can't weigh in on this one. I'll just have to go with your expertise on this. I can't weigh in on this because I'm not familiar with the speaker. So
the one thing on getting Mr. Spina back, I would hate to get him back and have him tell us he's still waiting for the data or that he didn't get it in time to have adequate review time. So can we get some assurance from staff that if we have Mr. Spina back, he will have had that data for a sufficient length of time to get it reviewed?
Yes. Good. Yeah, like I said, I anticipate that he will have the information by the end of next week. And I will have Mark Hutchinson here also with respect to that to provide any additional information that you may have. Hopefully we will have that schedule with the tasks on it. I didn't intend to leave it open for as you're being unhappy with the schedule from respect of not telling you what it was. Basically, it was approximately a four-year time frame, and that time frame was based upon data that was given to us from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for a project, a generic project. And so I used that in combination with our staff, our environmental staff, and they were kind of unhappy with the length of time that U.S. Fish and Wildlife said these things would take. And in subsequent communications, they said they thought some of those time frames were much, much longer than they needed to be. So I'm hoping that, I think I told you at the last meeting, it looks like we were hoping within a two-year time frame we could get this thing moved along and completed. The draft that I had was about a four-year time frame. So we're hoping to crunch that back to hopefully no longer than 3 years. But as you see the information, you will tell. And you know, we want to have it. I think what we're trying to do is get a buy-in from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, probably more than Anthony Spina, because I don't think he's going to do much buy-in on that schedule, that we will have their commitment to trying to move this along as quick as possible. And we know the order of magnitude of the elements that really need to be on the critical path that we can do in parallel, like the EIR. We can start that right away, but we don't want to waste a lot of time and money doing it and then have to revise it. So those are items that we remain to have worked out and bring back to you.
Okay, thank you for that. I'd like to explore a little bit more about Mr. Earing's idea. I'm not sure I fully understand it. Maybe you could expound on that a little bit?
Well, if we basically come up with a project management, which I'm going to call a time tasks and time and critical path.
Right.
I would really like to see the Department of Public Work and the Board of Supervisors really understand, okay, this is something that has to be done. This is something that we've been trying to get done, and that they personally are going to make a resolution, because they're in charge of this thing, approve a resolution at their Board of Supervisors meeting that says that they're going to meet a certain time schedule and this is going to be accomplished. I don't want a wishy-washy time frame. If they say they got to add another 6 months or whatever, then I think it's time that we hold the Board of Supervisors to the fire. They're the ones that are going to have to get this done. I mean, all the people that they work for, they work for Bob, and he reports to them. So this is the kind of thing that I believe has to have some meat, because it's been kind of wishy-washy and it hasn't gotten where we wanted it to go. So I just, that's what they work with, or at least that's what we work with in any one of our agencies. We all work with, you pass a resolution by the people that were elected to do the job and take the responsibility and to see that it gets done. So that's kind of what I'm.
Okay. Well,
I want them to have buy-in in it. They've bought into Nacimiento Water and the pipeline and all this kind of thing, and I really think that they need to buy into this that's going to get done.
Perhaps we could take that idea to the TAC and work on the mechanics of how that would work.
I might suggest, Mr. Gehring, also that if we're going to have Mr. Spina here and review the schedule, we might invite U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service representative also, because one of the thoughts that I'm having in respect to Mr. Ehring's comments are that we cannot control those two agencies or their timing. And I think we have a letter commitment from National Marine Fisheries Service that they will review the entire document within a year of when the, quote, final draft is submitted to them. But we have nothing from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So if you would like me to, I would invite them so we could have a conversation about that. Or maybe you want to do that at the TAC first, because there will be multiple details of, a dozen different specific items that we might want to try to work through. So I'll leave that out there for you to discuss.
Well, that approach makes sense to me. Is there any other committee member comments on that issue?
No, I agree. I think we ought to have the service here as well.
Very well. Anything else from?
But I think they should go to the TAC first, don't you? Because that's where the basic, as far as I'm concerned, the technical things are considered as to what, how long this is going to take, what has to be done, and this kind of thing. I mean, they're almost like the staff for this water thing, and they need to answer the technical questions, et cetera, that need to be done.
Ted's absolutely right. We're going to get into more detail at the TAC, kind of dissecting their schedule and asking the pertinent questions as to why and how come and so forth. Had a couple other questions.
Yes, go ahead.
Dean, I apologize. I forgot the answers to two questions that I think that we asked when Mr. Spina was here was, have any other HCPs dealing with steelhead been approved by the agency? And if so, where are they, and which agencies were they approved for?
I don't think so.
And then the second question was Section 10 consultation versus Section 7. Why is this a Section 10 versus a Section 7, where we would be able to establish firm legal requirements for scheduling if we had a federal nexus on this? And it seems like we do have a federal nexus, but I don't recall if Mr. Spina answered that question or whether Mr. Hutchinson answered it for us a while back.
Mr. Spina advised that, if I recall, that there were none approved in California.
Yes.
We thought we had found one, but Mr. Spina said there were none. Maybe it was approved by his regional department. I thought there was one up approved in Northern California, but I don't have anybody here. That came from my environmental group. And I can't remember that. It was a smaller watershed, but it took them 10 to 12 to 14 years to get that one approved. In response to the Section 10 versus Section 7, we did significant research on that issue when we started this with our water attorney, and we could not connect that to a federal nexus because it was a state water permit issue that we were trying to resolve, and it wasn't linked to a federal project. So that's why we have gone this far with a Section 10.
Just to follow up on that briefly, it seems that the mitigation measures that we will be including within the HCP directly affect the creek, which is requiring core permits, which is a federal nexus. And I appreciate, I'm sure the attorney is correct on it, but it doesn't make sense that we couldn't go through a Section 7 process, which requires definite time frames and commitments from the agencies, versus hanging out for 10 to 14 years on approval on a Section 10 consultation. So maybe it's just whistling in the wind a little bit here, but it seems like it might be a legal issue for us to explore one last time. I don't know. The committee might want to try that.
Can we reiterate that question to Goldsmith and make sure that she understands it?
Yeah, what I would suggest that we do is we'll have a renewed sort of advice from Jan Goldsmith, and I would suggest probably what we do also is we provide you a parallel schedule. Basically, I would believe that would potentially be starting over again with some sort of different version of the HCP, and put those next to each other and look at, see what those schedules would look like. Based on the soundness of our approach to a different type of using a Section 7 approach rather than the Section 10. I've discussed this with Mark Hutchinson, who was our environmental manager, and he it was clear to him in my discussion that we could not make a federal nexus based on what our project was as far as the releases and the storage that we were, how we were storing the water in the lake, which is require this permit renewal. So, but I can do that if you'd like.
I heard Mr. Spina say loud and clear, right or wrong, that he considered his job just to assist us in putting our HCP together, and that he had no authority to make us do anything. He was just there to help out. And only when we got the HCP together and was approved, then it would come within the regulatory powers of his group, and we might then be in a different spot. But that's his position, I understood. I don't know whether, I don't know a thing about 6 or 7, either one or even 10, but that's what I thought he was saying. So.
Well, it may be, it may not be pertinent at this point, but it sure seems logical from looking at other projects that have gone down the road of consultation with the service that there's been a whole lot more minor types of projects that have fallen in the category of Section 7 than what we're proposing. So it just doesn't make sense that it's not applicable. But it may be that there's technicalities, legal technicalities, why it's not. And I respect Mark's thoughts on it and certainly the county's attorney. But it would be nice to have maybe a little bit of a confirmation of that so that I don't have that burning question anymore.
I would go along with Mr. Wallace. If it's any possibility at all, we already have another opinion on it. I was just pointing out what Mr. Spina said. And I've been a lawyer long enough to know that you can get 10 lawyers to get 10 opinions. So maybe we get another opinion too and get a little bit of ammunition to help us out on this thing. So
I have a question that I'd like to ask at this time. How much downstream release did we exceed the 4,200 acre feet for the last year? Do you recall?
I believe from last year we were about 300 acre feet over, 300 to 400 acre feet over.
Okay, so just basically a month.
A month worth of releases,
water.
You mean?
Yeah,
a
month worth of water, is that right?
Yeah, if it's 10% of 4,200, a little bit less than that. Yeah.
But, Mr. Benedict, if I recall, that we've tightened up our standards a little bit, and perhaps we're going to be on target this year, maybe even under with the
Yes,
progress.
We're trying to monitor that release amount a lot closer, and as we can jump on that to reduce those releases or not increase the releases, to stay more where we're supposed to be throughout the summer year, which is when most of that happens. We seem to be on target for even before we had these reduced releases because of the rainfall. We looked like we were right on target for the 4,200 acre feet as I was projecting it. So we're doing much better than that at the expense and the consternation and concern of the agricultural community out there who calls us numerous times during the summer, and we're sort of transitioning to maintaining that 4,200.
All right. Any other discussion on that item at committee level? How about it in the audience? Anyone have any issues they'd like to raise on that particular item? Seeing none, let's move on to plant efficiency.
We didn't hear from you, did you?
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Wow, that's different.
Plant efficiency assessment review.
Yes, the last several items that I have here, Mr. Gehring, I just have a very brief verbal update on. The plant efficiency assessment review has been ongoing about six or so months. We've concluded the meetings of the operations, engineering, and fiscal groups. We are preparing a draft report right now to bring back to all the groups. We hope to schedule a meeting next month to review the results of our reviews, comments, and recommendations of the efficiency of the plant operations, to bring some comparative information about staffing of other plants, and kind of the results of what we've seen. Everything is been going well, I think, with respect to that. We've got some good input from people. We've made some adjustments in certain project work that we're assessing and doing some evaluation and monitoring on. So we are nearing that, as I said, hopefully by the March meeting we'll be able to provide you a final report on what the recommendations and the actions have been based on that committee.
Okay. Questions, comments? Committee level? Seeing none. Audience? Seeing none. Terminal reservoir cost summary.
Yes, the last advisory committee meeting brought to you a summary of the terminal reservoir costs related to the construction of the dam and the terminal reservoir and the water treatment plant. A question was asked to provide a different percentage of inflation based on the last 40 or 45 years with respect to how those costs were accumulated over the last time period. I don't have that yet. I didn't get that back. I will bring that back to you at the next meeting, probably bring it to the TAC. to have you take a look at it. There were really no comments on it other than providing that updated assessment of the 5% inflation versus the 3% inflation.
All right. Thank you for that. Any comments? Anything else on that item from the committee? No? Seeing none? Audience? Anybody in the audience have an issue on that one? Seeing none, supplemental state water issues.
I just included this for a couple of reasons. As your agencies are probably aware, Oceano, Grover Beach, Aurora Grande, and Pismo Beach have requested a additional state water for a temporary supplement to offset their extraction from groundwater in the valley area because of a potential saltwater intrusion issue. The county flood control staff is working on agreements with respect to that with the state and the state Central Coast Water Agency. I will tomorrow provide our record summary of information we have on the capacity of the Lopez pipeline to be able to provide additional water, and just for a range of order that so everybody kind of understands, we deliver about 4,300 acre feet per year of Lopez water to the agencies, and the amount of water that I believe they're asking for is somewhere between 1,500 and 2,500 acre feet additional per year. So it's a pretty significant increase based on what we do deliver. So, and I have a summary report from some work done in 1998. I'll be providing that to, I believe it's Water Specialties Company, who is representing the agencies. They will likely have to look at that and create a new model or a current model that addresses what they think the capacity might be of that pipeline. I will tell you that when we tested it in 1998, the current flow from the plant or capacity, I should say, of the plant is 6 million gallons per day. A test was done in 98, and they were targeting 9 million gallons per day through the pipeline, and they could only get 8 million gallons through the pipeline. Theoretically, that pipe should provide about 60% more by gravity than it was tested in 1998. There may be some head loss issues. We've done some improvements in the pipeline over the last 12 years based on the report that was done in 1998. Replaced some valves for pigging, taken some facilities out that would create head losses in the pipeline. But suffice it to say, the agencies will probably have to remodel that and look at it, assess the system where we are now, and see where they think what we can do to get that amount of water through the pipeline. So that was just what reason I included this in your agenda.
All right. Thank you for that. Any questions from the committee members on that issue for Mr. Benedict? Yeah, I see Mr. Chisholm from Pismo Beach in the audience, and he's been the point man with the CCWA. I'm just curious whether he would want to add anything to that dissertation. Dwayne Chisholm, Public Works Director, City of Pismo Beach, approaching the podium.
Yes, I might be able to add a little bit of additional information. Dean is correct. That is the path that the project is taking. There was a meeting between the Northern Cities representative, which was myself, and the operating committee of the Central Coast Water Authority in January. There was a subcommittee that was formed amongst CCWA, and then there's going to be two additional meetings to discuss the emergency water request, and then the item will be reheard at the next operating committee meeting, which is March 11th. Included on the subcommittee would be representatives from the city of Santa Maria, the city of Santa Barbara, the executive director of CCWA, a representative from the Northern Cities Group, and San Luis Obispo County would all be working together to try and devise a short-term agreement. The operating committee for CCWA wanted to broaden the discussion with regards to the use of the supplemental water to look at years further out and those kinds of things. So I think it lends itself very well for a continued cooperative effort between San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties into the future.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chisholm. Any questions for Mr. Chisholm before he goes too far from the podium?
Yeah, I'd like to ask him, what are we doing about these Sentry wells? I mean, are we cleaning them out and retesting them, or what? Or is it a foregone conclusion that we have some?
Well, that's a long and interesting story that I'm not sure that we have sufficient time to discuss completely tonight. There is a bit of a regulatory issue with regards to completing the work in a timely fashion. However, and what I would call the permanent repair, the raising of some of those pipelines. However, through the efforts of Mr. Wallace and his group, we were able to do some temporary repairs on the wells in question to make sure that when we take another round of sampling in January, that those wells are will give us a good, reliable data results.
Anything else for Mr. Chisholm before he retires?
No,
seeing none.
Thank you, Mr. Chisholm.
Sounds good.
Just a brief comment. The credit really goes to the county in this case, because contact was made with Pava Ogren, the Director of Public Works, and he mobilized the hydraulic division person who does the maintenance and OCSD as well, and they hopped on it and they got the temporary repairs made to all the wells, but in particular one near Pier Avenue that was being infected by surface waters. And so it was really a good response from the county, and I think everybody appreciates it. Yeah. And they ought to have the credit for it.
Good.
Very good.
Good to hear.
Yes.
Piggyback on what John said just a little bit. I think everybody did work good together, and that included the community, because it was Dave Angelo who actually started taking people over to the well site to look at the environment, and then, you know, the snowball occurred. But the community was involved in that as well, too, just monitoring, you know, and making sure everything was, you know, running smoothly.
All right. Thank you for that. On the issue of pipeline capacity, if you recall, the first reach that we cleaned was the Oceano branch, and quite some time ago. And I'm curious if we shouldn't take a look at that and see if we are reaccumulating anything on that segment, so we know whether we've got a continuing problem, and it might bear on what we do next. I know that there are plans at the staff level to pig the 18-inch reach from Vista Del Mar to Briscoe, but I don't know what the timing of that is, Mr. Benedict. Do you know offhand?
Yes, we're planning at this point on doing that pigging in December of this year. We considered summertime, and it's got some problems with the demand, so
right.
We've settled on December.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions that raise any other issues on anybody's part? Okay, thank you. And I'm here. Oh, Mary Lee, please step forward.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, regarding the Century wells and the testing, you're doing more than annual, and you're trying to make the sampling results more reliable. You did say you wanted to request the results of these more often than annual. When you get them, will you report them here?
When they are available in a public format, they will be reported, yes.
Available in public format. What does that entail? The annual?
Well, they are being collected quarterly right now, by the way. But I don't, and I'm thinking that they are public Do you remember, Mr. Wallace? I think they probably are public at present.
I think because of the, Dwayne probably knows better than anybody here, but because of the stipulated settlement agreement with Santa Maria and others, for the time being, I think that information was being released through the attorneys to the working committees. But I think from our presentations at OCSD and others, that information is really being broadcast publicly from time to time, especially as we undertake measures to protect the wells and other things. But I don't know if Dwayne knows a better answer to that, but they are being released through the attorneys to the working groups.
Thank you, because this came up at the RAC meeting, and they gave sort of the same answer. And I said, well, I know we're asking for it.
Well, we'll defer to the expert here.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the information that is derived from the monitoring program is derived through an attorney-client privilege, and that attorney-client privilege exists until such time as the results are published on an annual basis. So that's the reason.
The annual report. Okay, thank you for that. Anyone else from the public on that issue before we move on?
Interesting.
Seeing none. Mr. Benedict, anything on the Arroyo Grande Creek ag water use, which is tabled?
No, I will just again refresh the committee's information that the Board of Supervisors last year did, as one of several items relating to water resources, direct staff to continue to work with the agricultural community in the Zone 3 area and effectively probably the Zone 1, 1A area also to make discussions so that we had clarified the operation of the releases and how that impacted the groundwater and the farmer's ability to extract water from that and how adjustments or compromises or negotiations might need to take place with that respect. We don't want to surprise anybody if we can store a little bit more water and release somewhat less, particularly during the summertime period. So we will be embarking on that a lot more heavily and actually get back to that. It won't be tabled. After we finish the efficiency assessment, we'll be working on that.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Well, I have a question regarding old business. I don't see it listed here, but where are we on this, on the study for the raising of the dam through this bladder system? Is that still in progress, or...?
That is being because only three of the five agencies are interested in proceeding with that. Oceano basically voted that they didn't want to participate. It's a project that is not funded or attended to with the Zone 3 general money. So the agencies who are advocating that are being represented, if I can say that appropriately, by Pismo Beach, who agreed to manage and sort of direct that project to do some more preliminary studies, and Mr. Chisholm is in the process of preparing documentation to put out to proposal, I believe, and I'll let Dwayne tell you the rest.
Yes, Member Ehring, the request for proposal is been prepared. It's going to go through a review process in the next week or two through all the member agencies, and then it'll be moving forward. And we'll get proposals back, and probably, I'm thinking probably in time for your maybe your next March meeting to report back for you on that. It has taken a kind of a back seat to some of these other water-related issues having to do with the emergency, and that's why it's taken a little bit more time than we had envisioned when we started this before the other issues.
Okay, thank you for that information.
Okay, since Mr. Ehring has raised the issue of old business, does anybody else have any old business questions before we move on?
No.
Seeing none. All right. New business, though. Anybody got any new business? Mr. Benedict, any new business you want to talk about?
No, I don't have anything additional, Mr. Gehring.
No.
Mr. Wallace?
No.
Mr. Gehring? No.
No. No, I think he's got his plate full.
No. None?
Seeing none? the audience doesn't think we need to raise anything? Anybody from the audience want us to investigate something? All right. Committee member comments. Anybody?
I think we had a good discussion tonight. I appreciate Dean's good information here. Thank you.
I do too. And I appreciate everything you've given in the news reports and that you move so fast on this. After Spina was here, we had an opportunity to find out where our problems lie. I think putting these tasks together, I'm certainly waiting to see them. And your timing schedule, but you're moving on it, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, one thing that I'm really appreciating, too, is the idea and the fact that it is being accomplished is the plant efficiency study. That could have been passed by, but it was a great idea, and I think that we're really anticipating some good results to come back from that. And the participation in the formation of the committees and participation by everybody who were on those committees was really good, so I appreciate that.
Anyone else? Comments? Not hearing any. All right. Next regular meeting is Thursday, March 8th, 2010, and it looks like we are adjourned.